Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? Here we are. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. The live feed's kicking, the numbers are going up, and we're doing some fun stuff tonight. We will be speaking with Mr. Randy Wiseman, Libertarian candidate for the governor of Florida, folks. As you know, the races are coming up. I'm looking to get Paul Nehlen on. He's running against Paul Ryan for Congress, District 1 up in Wisconsin, of where the cheese is being made. I'm going to try to get him on, too. That's going to be a good one. Edward, what's happening? I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And we're going to have that interview come up right after this. I got to talk and play our top of the hour break, pay homage to those who support our show, like Mr. Dave Bray, who will be on this Thursday with Stevie D, Mr. 3%, and Jenny. They're organizing a big rally over in D.C. on July 29th. You want to make sure you're there. And Dave Bray is going to be at the rally. So we're going to play a bunch of his music. And you can get up to D.C. on July 29th and see what's happening at this great rally. We'll have that. The organizers and Dave Bray all going to be there, obviously, on the 29th. Next Thursday, 8 o'clock. No, this Thursday. This week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be right back. 4 minutes, 28 seconds.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org.
We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, we are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to theamericanbrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org for a lifetime membership and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. That's right, Dave Bray USA, Liberty Rush, and all and the others. And make sure you check out Pastor Sylvester Bland at UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us. Good friend of mine, he's got his own show. He's live right now, so if you don't like me, head on over to www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us and listen to Pastor Sylvester Bland. He's great. I love that guy. Sadie, I'm sending you the time over right now. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Mr. Randy Wiseman on, Libertarian candidate for governor of Florida, and let him introduce himself and tell us a little bit about his campaign and his platform without any interference. So, Randy, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, man.
No problem. So tell folks who Randy Wiseman is and exactly what you plan, what you plan to do as you forge ahead in this campaign. And the floor is yours. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm just a regular guy. I'm a small business owner. I've always never had too many jobs. I've always worked for myself. My wife and I own a gymnastics school here in Florida. We're one of the oldest continuous running gymnastics schools in the country, as a matter of fact. We've been open about 45 years. Married to the same woman, same length of time, got three sons. And just I'd like to be a public servant that has no agenda, no axes to grind, just try to do what I think is right, which is, you know, try to free up people's personal liberties and get government out of them and make government itself smaller. That's pretty much me in a nutshell, man.
Excellent. And so how long have you been in business for yourself? Because that's important to have people who have struggled at times and pulled themselves up and understand financial responsibility through some lessons learned, kind of like myself going through bankruptcy back in 2010 when everything hit the fan and we had the big collapse. It hit me hard.
Yeah.
But we get back up, pull ourselves back up. We're Americans.
Well, by trade, I'm a real estate broker. When about 35 years ago, I retired from coaching. I was a gymnastics and diving coach and got into real estate. And it was interesting, Mark, when I first went on Social Security, they send you a listing of how much money you made each year over the past. I had four different years that I had zero money that I made, you know, and that's because of one thing or another. Most of the time it's because I was working. I just couldn't put deals together. But you always keep working. You always keep living on the draw. And over the years, you know, I've done real good, and I'm comfortably retired now. And you're right. You know, you don't get anything for free. I don't care what it is. With the exception of maybe you might get some love for free, you know. But, you know, you got to get out there and work. And that's what I've always done. I've pretty much raised myself. I've been on my own since I was 18 years old, and you know, and I have a comfortable life and a beautiful wife and three lovely boys.
And so you're running under the Libertarian ticket. What led you to the Libertarian ticket? I know what led me there. It was Adrian Wiley. I met him on his campaign for governor, shook his hand, and he convinced me that the Libertarian Party was the way to go. So why would somebody want to switch their affiliation to Libertarian and vote for Mr. Randy Wiseman?
Well, myself personally, you know, I'm a former Republican. I was on my local school board and the chairman of the school board, and I was a statewide legislative director for the Florida School Board Associations and all that. I did all that as a Republican. But I just got tired of being called a rhino, you know, you're Republican in name only and all that crap. And I've always been a libertarian. I just didn't realize it till especially last summer when with this presidential election going on. It was just ridiculous that we put two unbelievable people up for a choice for a president. You know, I did everything I could for Johnson, and you know, Adrian set the tone for me. And what I'm going to do, by golly, if I don't win, I'm going to set the tone for the next person in 4 years. And that's what we have to keep doing. We have to keep trying and trying. We've got a bunch of people running for the state house. They're not going to get these elections free anymore. We're going to start challenging them here in Florida. And if somebody's doing one of those gimme state things with they run for state house and the other party doesn't challenge them because they know they can't win it, we're going to stick a libertarian in there and see how we can do. That's our plan.
So there you have it, folks. If you want to vote for Randy Weisman or you want to donate or you want to help him out, volunteer for his campaign, where can somebody do that, Randy?
Well, it's simple. You can go to randywiseman.com. It's W-I-S-E-M-A-N. I tell people you can always remember my name because I have three sons, and they're my three Wisemen. But you can go to randywiseman.com. And we're working on the webpage. Right now the webpage is up to one kind of – been kind of fiddling with, but we got a couple of really smart young people working on my rec campaign right now, and they're doing things that, you know, in reality at my age, I don't really know what they're doing, but they sure know what they're doing. They're going to be putting up a new website pretty soon, and you can always go to randywiseman.com to the contribute page and, you know, and give me a couple bucks, because in reality, that's where it really comes down to, regardless of anything else. You have to have some money to get out there and contact those voters.
And volunteers are very helpful. All right, so let's go on to some of the policies and things like that that are concerning folks here in Florida. Like you ran as a Republican and you were involved in schooling a lot. Where do you stand on Common Core and teaching the five pillars of Islam in our schools?
Well, number one, Common Core is a joke. And you know, as far as religious instruction, you know, I think you can go there to those different religious schools to get a little bit more religious instruction. Public schools need to be teaching basic academics and some socials and physical skills, and that's all they should be doing. As far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't even have public schools, but we have them and we have to deal with them. In Florida, each student gets a certain amount of money each year from the state of Florida, because in Florida, in our Constitution, it says all our children will get a free education. And so having said that, if they give $6,000 for each kid to be educated, I think that money should go directly to wherever that child is being educated, whether it's in the public school or in a parochial school or a private secular school or even at home. Right now, the public school people think that that's all their money automatically, and it isn't. That money should go to the child, not to the, you know, just to beef up the government to do what they want to do. If a kid's going to be homeschooled, that mother or father who's teaching that kid should be given those funds.
That makes sense. Absolutely. So Common Core is a joke. You heard it here, folks. Randy Weisman.
Common Core
is a joke. Hallelujah. That's another check mark. Check. I like that. I can't stand Common Core. And I can't stand it. But I agree in a lot of ways that I don't believe religion should be taught, any religion should be taught in public schools at all. That would encourage folks more, if they wanted to have religion, would go to church on Sunday, maybe. Or if they're of the Jewish faith, they go on Saturday to the temple. Whatever the case may be, I don't think there should be any religion in school. Of course, you know, we should recognize certain holidays, of course, but it shouldn't be like a Bible study or the study of the Quran there in, you know, social science or something, you know, none of that stuff. History class, we shouldn't be learning anything like that, except, you know, maybe that
I know.
The original founders of America came here, and they were very steeped in Christian values. And the pilgrims came to escape religious persecution. You know, that's neither here nor there. That's part of history. We got to teach that. It's in the history books. So then fairly, we should also teach at least that much of the other religions if we're going to mention it. It's hard. It's a really tough subject. It's very touchy. How about there's a big issue here.
Mark, let me follow up on that.
Yes, sir.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with in school for academically teaching children that there are differences. You know, there are different types of religion. It's like there are different types of languages and different types of people, and those type of things. That's okay to teach them, but specifically, what our forefathers wanted to do, they wanted to keep the state out of the religion. They did not want the state to determine or preach religion to us. And that's exactly what you're saying. You know, if kids want to be taught, you know, and Bible study and things like that, they're absolutely free to go to any religious school they want to go. But the money should follow them. That's a big difference with me.
Absolutely. There's also a very hot button topic across all of the South right now. In fact, one of the most craziest things I've ever heard is getting ready to happen starting July 1st in Gettysburg, you know, where the Battle of Gettysburg took place, where Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other groups are planning to go to the battlefield where over 51,000 American soldiers lost their lives, were wounded, or missing. To burn the Confederate battle flag, which to me is just ridiculous. And I'm a Yankee. I'm a damn Yankee. I grew up in New York. But I still understand the significance and the importance of history. And they're getting ready to remove a statue here in Lake Eola. They're looking to take down a statue in Gainesville and a statue in front of the Hillsborough County Courthouse. And I'm opposed to this in a very big way. And my last guest really propped himself up. His name is Bruce Nathan. He'll be running against you in this race. And he said he would put the statues 5 feet higher and with lights shining on them if he's elected. And that's where I am. Where do you stand on this ridiculous attack on Southern history? Whether we like it or not, it's their history. Where do you stand there?
Well, first off, this Bruce guy, he's running against me.
Yes, sir.
He's going to run against – I didn't know that there was not a libertarian in the race. Good.
He's not a libertarian, but he's running for governor. So he's running against you. You know, he's in the race.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
he's not a libertarian. He's running as a Republican.
No, you hit it the nail right on the head. It is our history. Whether you agree with it or not, it's still our history. Now, I grew up in Florida. I'm a, you know, Florida boy from Miami, which actually makes me, I guess, a northern Florida boy because there's all sorts of crazy people in Florida. But if you get rid of these things, then, you know, there's the old phrase, you have to know about your history or you're doomed to repeat it. Well, you know, that's what Hitler tried to do. You know, he burned books and he wrote, you know, there are complete cultures that have been completely written out of history. And I don't care what the subject matter is, there's something we can learn from, you know, history. And the one there by Lake Eola, that thing's been there for, I don't know, 40, 50 years. It's just, I think it's ridiculous. It's just government bowing down to people who want to have their way because somebody said a bad word to them and now they're insulted. And I don't like this because, you know, that's the way I am and all this other crap. And I just don't like the idea. I wouldn't, as far as I'm concerned, they can leave every statue up of everything. If it has anything to do with our history, the kids should be taught it and we should all be aware of it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Once they start going for the books, folks, guess what's next? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I hate to say it, but they go for the people after the books, after history is erased from the books, then the people got to be erased.
Well, over the past 50 years, the liberals have completely rewritten the textbooks.
Yeah. So in some schools, they teach that the guys at the Boston Tea Party are terrorists, which to me is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
Those guys started the, what gave us the greatest nation to ever grace this planet.
Well,
and they call them terrorists. Something for them. There's a bunch of terrorists running around in D.C. right now, and they ain't looking out for the best interests of their constituents. And I'm trying to get this guy running against Paul Ryan. His name is Paul Neal. I'm trying to get that guy on the show because we got to get Paul Ryan the hell out of there. That guy's a turd. I can't stand that man.
Well, all of them are like that, Mark. They all are there to – none of them are citizen senators or citizen representatives. That's what our founding forefathers wanted us to be. We wanted to be citizen politicians. Come in and do your thing and do your service, you know, for a limited amount of time, and then let another citizen come in. That was the whole idea. That was never meant to be careers and being in Congress for 50 years and all that kind of stuff. All those people up there are interested in is keeping the job and trying to keep it so that everybody pays attention to them so they can be on the radio and they can be on TV, because most of them are all addicted to the adoration they get just because they're a senator or a representative.
Amen. So then let's go towards things like taxes. Taxes are a big drag here. There's a couple of programs that are in the budget ready to get slashed that are for tourism, you know, to attract people to our state so we don't ever have to pay a state tax. Some folks are for it. Some folks are against these programs. Where do you stand on tourism and the economy and taxes here in Florida?
Well, let's put it this way. Tourism is a segment of our business community. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I go to the tourist trap myself, and I live here.
Okay. So if tourism itself, part of our economy, my gymnastics school is part of our economy too.
Amen.
So why doesn't the state come in and help me with my gymnastics school to get me more students? See, it doesn't make any difference what it is. It shouldn't be done. The government, number one, shouldn't even be there involved in the stream of commerce at all. The whole purpose of government is to give us, you know, a few minimal things, a judicial system, a public safety system, defend the homeland, a couple of other little things. They don't need to be – And you know very well, as much as I do, that the whole reason of all this tourism tax is just to pay back from the governor to his buddies who you know, want to make more money. That's all it is.
I don't know about you, but I'm a hardworking man. And if I want to take my family to Disney for a day, I better save up for a couple of years because I work check to check. They made it for a regular – that place is only for, you know, people with a decent salary, you know, factory worker like myself ain't going to Disney twice a year.
No, well, you also look at Disney. Disney is the number one attraction, number one destination in the United States, correct?
Amen.
Why do we need to be promoting people to come here? They're already coming here. Why don't we spend $10 million on, or get $1 million and pay Pitbull to go rap for us for 10 minutes. We don't need that kind of stuff.
Right. And if they do away with that crap, then we can lower the ticket prices so blue-collar, hard-working American people living right here in the Sunshine State could go enjoy the place. My son's six. He's been there once. But he's been there. We had a good time. It was a lot of fun. And, all right, so now I also notice all the time in Florida they're working on the roads all the time. So that's a lot of infrastructure work. Are you on board with fixing the roads and making sure they're passable all the time and you know, spending tax money to make sure we can get to work without potholes in the road, like, say, George Washington Bridge in New York City?
That's just one giant pothole, from what I understand. I believe there's a limited place for government. I'm not a complete anarchist. Like I said, I think we need government for, you know, a judicial system and a correctional system and absolutely public safety and the defense of the homeland. And there has to be some infrastructure. Sure, most infrastructure should be done on a local level. But if we want to be a mobile society and, you know, drive from here to Washington in 10 hours, then you obviously have to have roads. And whether you like it or not, we're now stuck in a society like that. I would much rather see us spending more time and research on how we can make it more efficient to travel rather than just making it easier to travel. You know, you can only widen I-4 so much. I mean, if you widen it to 200 lanes wide, would it be wide enough in 50 years? You don't know. I think they're looking at it the wrong way. They need to keep the roads that they have going, you know, obviously operational. But I just have a lot of problems with the way they spend money. And you know, you go on the turnpike and you pay a toll, and that's one of the best ways. You know, it's a user fee. You pay the toll. But even on the turnpike, they have so much money that they're trying to find ways to spend that money when they could be using that money to help other public roads. So it's, you get me going on the government involvement and stuff like that. I talk all day about it, you know.
Right. So what do you think of organizations like the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, who intrudes on people's lives, like, say, out west, it seems to be a normal occurrence where the Bureau of Land Management is abusing folks and trying to snatch up their land. Where do you stand on organizations, you know, the Alphabet organization? And the TSA, look how many terrorists the TSA has caught since they've been, you know, at the airports breaking our balls.
And 95% of them should be completely eliminated. Period.
IRS for one of them.
We shouldn't be having income tax. Income tax is theft, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, it is.
If, you know, we did fine up until, what was it, 1913 when they started income tax? You know, before they started income tax, we still had schools. We still had roads. We still had all that stuff going on. You know, so it's income tax is just a shell game to get more money out of it. It's what it was.
Well, it's pretty clear in the Constitution that labor income from labor shall not be taxed. We know where the Constitution stands now. We actually have people from the Democrat side coming out saying that their First Amendment's different than my First Amendment's different than yours. Where do you stand on the basic rights of American citizens? Say, let's start with, we know where we all stand on the First Amendment, freedom of speech and all that stuff. We want that. How about the Second Amendment? That's another hot button topic in America today, is the Second Amendment. Now, you know, you watch the Democrats. This guy walks up to a baseball game to assassinate Republicans. And the Democrats start talking about gun control. And this guy's incited by their rhetoric. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Well, the Second Amendment is different. You know, it gives us the right to bear arms and to protect ourselves. And it all goes along with being able to form a militia on a larger scale to protect our neighbors. And the right to own a gun or anything to defend ourselves is exactly that. It's a right. It's not a privilege, and therefore should not be licensed at all. I don't think we should have any licensing or any background checks or anything on guns. We're going to have some bad people. We understand that. But
I carry a constitutional I got one sitting right here on the table as I'm talking to you. And the Constitution's Second Amendment is everybody's license to carry. Right.
Everybody, you are automatically licensed to carry. But it's not the government that recognizes it. It's the Constitution that tells you you're licensed, not some government entity. And, you know, you're going to have some gunfights and stuff like that, yeah. But I guarantee you, the reason why there weren't more people killed up at that baseball game, because there happened to be a couple of brave heroes there who had guns, and they shot the guy. And, you know, if people know that there's these gun-free safe zones, well, hell, let's go there and start shooting people. Nobody's going to shoot at us.
Right.
You
may
put out a welcome sign, you know.
Eesh. Then I saw that there was another incident over in London now, where a gentleman, people at a mosque, and you would think, oh my God, it's the end of the world. This guy's a horror. They automatically called it terrorism and started screaming and hollering how evil it is for this guy to run over Muslims. They didn't speak like that hardly at all when the Muslims did that to the regular people. Where do you stand on this refugee resettlement issue and vetting these people and, you know, cutting them off and making sure that they are not here to cut off our heads and blow up our schools and kill our people?
You know, I'm all for anybody wanting to come to the United States and seeking the same dream that I was successful in seeking. I have a friend, a real good friend of one of my church groups that I go to. She's getting her citizenship on Thursday.
And, God bless her.
She's very proud. But you know what? She's English. Not a terrorist, just a regular lady. Took her 12 years to become a citizen. And I think it needs to be, everything needs to be fixed on every level. We need to make it a little easier to apply and get our citizenship. And we also need to do that extreme vetting stuff. But, you know, we need to go back to some type of an Ellis Island type thing where people actually physically go through. And if we feel they're a threat to our citizens, then we turn them away. But, you know, if you have a family here, the reason they're illegal is because it's too damn hard to become a citizen. You know, I know that this lady, she spent like $6,000 or $8,000 doing that. You know, and I think they're kind of selling the American dream now. I don't think it's really free anymore for people to do, especially people who are outside the country. You got to kind of buy your way in. I have some problems with that.
12 years, that's kind of ridiculous. You know what I would say? Maybe 4 years, maybe it should take, like, you know, and during that 4 years, you have a visa, you get a job, you pay some taxes, you show that you'll be a good citizen, and you study, and then after 4 years, just like anything, you take a test, and if you pass the test, you get a thing to hang on the wall, and
absolutely,
something to carry with you as you're an American citizen. It shouldn't take 12 years. It shouldn't cost $8,000.
Yeah. Literally took, just because of the bureaucracy of it itself was probably 6 or 8 years of it. It could easily be done in 4 years. The problem is we've got to give all these people jobs, you know, so there's got to be 9,000 people to have each one of them have a job so that somebody can be an American citizen when it would take maybe 5 or 10 people, you know, and it's this government run amok like every other part of our society. It's government run amok.
It's crazy. You know, I mean, it starts from the school board and it works its way all the way up to the executive office. I say it all the time. It not only is it corruption, but it's bureaucracy and red tape to get anything done. And the only reason that I think, if you ask me, the reason there's so much bureaucracy and red tape is so they can hire 50 people to dig through everything. And they're just trying to create senseless jobs on the taxpayer's dollar so that people
can
have work.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I was on the school board for 4 years. You know why? I was up for re-election after 4 years, and I did my job as a citizen politician, and I didn't pander to anybody, and I let everybody realize that I couldn't be bought. And, you know, it cost me from being re-elected because the people who wanted me to do things, they all got together and made sure I wasn't re-elected. But you know what? I sleep good every night because my personal honor has always been intact. I'm going to do exactly what I believe is right, and I'm confident that what I believe is right for me is right for everybody else. I'm a devout Christian, and I think that you know, we should all be treating each other the same. And if you don't get your way, you take your licks and then you start over. You don't have a big pout fight and try to keep pushing your way on other people. That's why I never got reelected, because I did my job. That's why I didn't get reelected.
Isn't that scary? You know, you keep your campaign promises, do what you tell the people you're going to do, and then they don't elect you back onto the board. That's crazy. And there's so much fraud and stuff in the elections. But this last election, I couldn't believe my eyes, some of the things I've seen. And what I'm hearing in the media still, as it's been debunked time and time and time again, that there's no collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. So what do? They're trying to get them for obstruction. Are you against all this negativity against the president, or do you feel that the office is being sickly disrespected? Because, look, we all lived through 8 years of Obama, and we never had a Shakespearean play in a park where the assassination of Obama took place. And that's happened every day. We finally had some people jump up on the stage this weekend and disrupt it and say, enough, this is enough. Where do you stand on these type of issues? These are really all out on the news front right now, and people are like clamoring to end this madness, but yet the left won't let the madness end. Where do you stand on the madness?
The left, the thing of it is, they're all being crybabies. That's all it is. They're upset because they didn't get their way, so they're going to do what they can to be obstructionists so that somewhere down the line they can maybe get their way back again. And I don't really care who the president of the United States is. It is a sovereign position that we all put our trust in, that our founding fathers put our trust in, and the office itself has to be respected. And, you know, now if you have a personnel problem, that's different. But none of this stuff, none of this stuff is true. You know that as well as I do. It's all crybaby, throwing tantrums because they didn't get their way stuff. That's all it is. I think it's shameful, actually.
It's downright criminal what some of these people are doing. They are actually coming out publicly saying we have to undermine this administration. Isn't that treason, for Christ's sakes? These people are
sure sounds
treason.
Sure.
Sorry?
Sounds like it. I said it sure sounds like treason to me. You know, and who cares when it really comes down to it? Let's say Trump is in the middle of his campaign and one of his people talks to some Russian guy and, you know, and says, well, you know, we want to do this, and but we'd like to do that. Who cares? That's not, you know, that's diplomacy when you're talking to people. And besides, he wasn't even president of the United States then. They just come up with these, they make these stories up as they go. That's the only answer because they're so ridiculous.
Crazy stuff. And like Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, look, the lady has lost her mind. She's senile, and people keep electing her in. I don't understand what's going on here in this country. Our people, they are presented with facts, and they will not hear the facts. They will only hear what their talking heads on CNN tell them, and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC and these other people. What is wrong with it? Is it a social sickness that's happening in this country on that side of the aisle, or is it just they've lost their way and they need to be reeled back in and have them, you know, so to speak, slap them silly a little bit? Hey, wake up! What are you doing? You think it's hopeless? I don't know. I think it's hopeless myself.
Well, there's always a certain segment of society that's going to do hopeless things and things like that. It's just it's because politics has become so personal. These people could care less that our bridges are falling apart. They could care less that there are still poor people up in Appalachia who never read a magazine. Ignore things like that. They don't care about the issues themselves. They care about themselves and what they can do to advance themselves. And that tends to go on both sides of the aisle. But the liberals have always been a little bit more perfected at doing it than the Republicans. But if they would simply start looking at their job the way and doing their job the way it's supposed to be done, then, you know, I think we could get along a lot better.
So there's a gross double standard in this country today, and I'm sure you know. And I speak regularly with the young lady, Sadie, whose husband has been incarcerated now for almost a year. He's got finally a release date here in September. His name is Christian Saucier. He has been incarcerated for taking 6 photos on a submarine, charged with mishandling classified information. Hillary Clinton had 150 counts. The same count. What do you think? Is there a different standard for the ruling class? Or, I mean, because it seems they're above the law, at least if you're an elected Democrat.
No, absolutely. There definitely is. It's the same. It's been going on since Rome. If you can get to a certain part, a certain level of government, and even maybe society itself, you do get to the point to where you can make you can get yourself out of trouble by making deals. I guarantee you, she is not in jail because there were deal makers out there that managed to give enough away to keep her out of jail, because there's no reason, and I don't see any reason why she should not. I mean, they're doing Trump with all this stuff on the assumption that he did something wrong, and they've done nothing to her on the facts that they know she did something wrong. So there definitely is a double standard. There's no about that. No about that. And the small guy, the guy on the sub, you know, he did something wrong and he got punished, and I'm sure he took it on the chin and it's going to start over. And she ought to be punished too for the things that she did.
Right. And in the very least, if she's not going to be punished, he should have his full military rank and everything restored and be pardoned. And you know what, Randy, right now I have on the line with us Sadie Saucier. Her husband has got a release date. Sadie, welcome to the show. Say hi to Mr. Randy Wiseman running for governor here in Florida under the Libertarian ticket.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations for doing that running, and best wishes, and nice to see everybody. Well, not see everybody, but talk to everybody once again.
Well, hi, Sadie. How are you?
Oh, go ahead.
Sadie,
sorry.
Yeah, Randy was just asking, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Sadie, I'd like to ask, how is your husband doing?
The best he can, under the circumstances and the situation. He's holding up to the best of his abilities.
Well, you know, the best advice I could give him is just be a tough guy and get through it. And start over again. I mean, that's the only thing you can do, because the system is not going to stop doing this crap. But, you know, hopefully he'll come through this as a better man, and he can move on. But, it, you know, regardless of what he may or may not have done and whether it may or may not have been that important, he was putting his life on the line for me, and I really appreciate that in every level there.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because he's our hero, and he is a very strong man, very strong.
And what is the update? Is there any updates on his situation as far as the release date?
Okay. Just so I can clarify, I know a lot of people have been seeing it. So Chris is going to be released. It was going to be on the 5th. And I just spoke to the government probation officer once again today. So they had to bump it to the 6th. The reason for that has nothing to do with commutation, an early release by any means being processed. The reason for that is because before Chris went in, he had a month to get his priorities in order by the judge, which he was under house arrest at the time. And I guess they're, in their good graces, if you want to call it that, are considering it as a time served, even though he's going to be coming home to a very strict supervised probation, ankle monitoring, the whole thing once again.
It's ridiculous. This guy, Randy, all he did was take some photographs to go. Look, I got some photographs on my phone right now from my job, and I take them home and I go, look, honey, I did this today at work. Isn't that cool? Look at that, man. Look, I'm Mason, my son. Hey, Mason, look. Look, I made this today at work. Wow, man. Pretty cool, huh? That's all he did. That's all he had in plan. And he misplaced his phone, and it wound up. Where did it wind up? In a landfill, Sadie?
It ended up in the town dump, and that's a long story as well. I'm not going to get too into detail with that, but let's just say an ex-wife that he divorced, someone had found it she was in association with and had turned it in, obviously. So I feel it was more of a malicious act on her part in how everything went down. So, you know, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, I just got a great idea that the government, this is something else the government could do. They could write a law that says that everybody has to tell everybody else what pictures they have on their phones, And then we can have a lottery of who goes to jail and who gets executed. Because I guarantee you, every person out there has got stuff on their phone that they either think is funny or sensuous or something like that, and somebody else out there trying to use it against them.
Absolutely.
We live in a blackmail society. Do what I say or I'm going to ruin you. And we punish success. And we punish success in this country now. Like, look what they're doing to Donald Trump. The guy is a success, so we are punishing him as a society. Not, I'm not punishing him. Maybe you guys aren't punishing him, but as a whole society, the guy is getting his ass whipped every day. It's unbelievable that when you get successful, I see folks tell me all the time, oh, my God, the Walmart family, oh, I can't believe it. They should pay more. They're ripping off their people. I'm like, what do you mean? They should pay more in taxes and they should raise the salary. Of course, everybody deserves a good salary in life. I'm struggle. I go check to check. I know what it's like to struggle. But they want the Walmart family to pay more and more and more. They created thousands and thousands of jobs, millions of jobs probably, around the globe.
Yeah.
You may not like Walmart, you may love Walmart. I can't stand Walmart. I don't go to Walmart. I try to stay out of the place. As much as possible. Sometimes you just have to go to Walmart. It's crazy, you know. But
well, you know,
you can't
who,
fuck them. They're successful, man. Let them be.
People who are upset that other people achieve the American dream will never achieve it themselves because they're just complainers. That's all.
Yeah,
I don't think they want to accept it is what it is. It's more like the acceptance. Either you accept it or you don't, and it's just – ruled out that, you know, some people are never going to accept that, you know, for one, that, you know, Mr. Trump is our president. And then, you know, that's how everybody forms, you know, these groups. So we're for Trump or we're not for Trump. And it's sad that they have to keep dragging on and on that they can't accept that he's our president. You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, if Trump wouldn't have won and it would have been, unfortunately, I'm going to say this, it would have been, you know, Hillary there. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we would have just dropped it and had to accept it. I don't think it would have dragged on, you know. I'm like, I don't really understand that why that side has to continuously keep saying not accepting it.
I call it the crybaby phenomenon.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, don't get me wrong. Obama was our president for 8 years. It's the reason for the Patriot Nation radio show is the fact that Obama was our president in the first place. Because, all right, the first election, hope and change. All right, it's a good message. You know, he's a community organizer with very limited political experience, but his message is good. Let's at least give him a chance. And then we watched for 2 years as he did nothing. And then the landslide came in 2010. And the Tea Party took over, and the resistance came, and then what did he do? Instead of using 2 years of Congress and the Senate, I mean the House and the Senate and the presidency, like Trump has right now, and he's doing great things because he's not letting it slip away, he didn't do anything. And then when he lost the Senate and the House, he started complaining and blaming George Bush for everything and did nothing, and he screwed everybody. And I'm looking at him going, what the hell's going on here? There's something weird happening here. I don't know. This guy's crazy. Then he got elected again. I couldn't believe it. And Patriot Nation Radio happened. Thanks, Obama. So something came out of it.
Hey, Mark, my battery's going, man.
All right, sir. Before you go, before your battery dies, tell everybody how they can get in touch with Libertarian candidate for governor of Florida, Randy Wiseman.
Just randywiseman.com, or you can email me directly at randy@randywiseman.com. And I did have a question for the young lady. What state do you live in?
I live in Vermont.
So he's going to have an ankle monitor?
He is. He's going to be under strict for 6 months after this him coming home. Yes, he's going to be on an ankle monitor with curfew.
Well, after they take the leash off of him and he finally becomes a free man again in a free country, I'd love to invite the two of you down to Florida and come and go to a few events with me because there's nothing greater to get you elected than to surround yourself with American heroes.
That would be absolutely great. And Chris actually is a resident of Florida. Last time we went down there, it was about 4 years ago for the Gator Nationals. So I don't have a – Florida is great.
Well, you contact me, let me know in a few months, because my election is not until, you know, another year from now. And I'd love to have the two of you down for, you know, and maybe he needs to start writing his book or something.
Exactly. Greatly appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Okay, thank you. And thank you very much for having me on, my man.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Wiseman, Libertarian candidate for governor of Florida. If he's your man, get out and vote. Election day is coming up in 2018. And
thank you.
You have it. You're quite welcome, sir. I'm glad to have you on. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it again. Randy Wiseman, if he's your man, go out and vote. He's the guy, Libertarian candidate. If you're a Libertarian and you like where he stands on things, you heard he agrees with keeping the statues. He agrees with getting rid of Common Core and not teaching Islam in schools. Hallelujah. Those are good things, folks. Those are really good things. And, Sadie, if folks want to help out, if there's anything that people can do to help out your situation, is there a place they can go and to help you out and maybe get a couple of dollars for Chris's commissary or something, or give you some gas money to get up and visit them?
Absolutely. If they visit Facebook and it's all one word, Free Chris Saucier, and Chris is with a K, they can go there. And we actually just posted, we have a petition we actually have for the White House right now, and we need over 100,000 signatures. And if people could sign and share that, it would be great, because it needs to happen, those signatures, in the next 30 days for the White House to even recognize or reply to that. So they could check that out on the page as well. So that's our newest effort on trying to get, you know, this recognized as being very unfair in what happened here with the justice system.
Very unfair. And I hit a little one in the background. Don't worry, little one. Daddy's coming home.
Absolutely.
Daddy's coming home. Yay! Hallelujah. It's been long, but now at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you have something to look forward to. It's got to have brightened his spirits a little bit. Is his spirits up a little bit now? A little bit?
I'll say that he's going to be glad that he's not sitting in prison. Yes, the circumstances that he's coming home to is pretty – it's just really ridiculously unfair to be placed under a strict supervision, a curfew, an ankle monitor. It's just, you know, and then on top of that, you know, 3 years of probation. I think that it's gone well beyond the point of wrong.
But think of the long drives that you'll no longer have to take. Think of the hugs and the kisses at bedtime that daddy gets to give to his lovely little daughter.
That's absolutely right. And I say he's looking forward to that. And all the little things I tell him in between that makes him laugh. And hopefully he gets to experience the terrible twos.
My son's six. I'll take the terrible twos any day. Terrible twos were followed by the horrific threes and the horrendous fours.
Right.
Damn, he's six and he talks back. Oh my God.
she does that now too. If you tell her yes, she'll look at you and yell at you no. And it's an ongoing battle where you keep saying yes and she thinks it's a game where she has to say no, and she's not doing it.
And he's at the point you can't give him a spanking anymore, because in order for it to be effective, I have to break him in half. So I can't even spank the kid when he's dead. I have to, like, he laughs at you when you. So you can't give the kid a spanking.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Cassie's going to be one of those, time out, what's that? I'll go put myself in the corner and then laugh at you. You know, exactly.
So now it's like, all right, no tablet. And he goes, okay, well, I got these toys. No toys. Oh, my God, it's an ongoing battle. I'll take the terrible twos. Can I rewind?
But, yeah, like I said, I greatly appreciate all your time and you reaching out again to have us on. And if people would, you know, go to the Free Chris Saucier page on Facebook, greatly appreciate if people can. And I believe I put it in your feed there, the link to the White House petition that we just did today. And that was, you know, courtesy of Chris's it was all of us. It was a three-person effort. It was myself and Ronald Daigle, Chris's attorney, and his lovely wife, Michelle Daigle, helped put all that together. So today that was our main goal and our biggest effort to do. And I think that they did an absolutely great job. So we need them signatures.
Yes, ma'am. And I will, after the show, a little later, after Mason goes to bed, I will sign the petition and share it around.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's Sadie Saucier. Her husband is unfairly incarcerated as Hillary Clinton roams free and undermining the president's campaign presidency. They're about ready to come out and just say, look, we're doing this. We don't care what you think. We don't care what you say. Everybody's on our side. Well, we're going to have a surprise for them. One day, folks, there's going to be a retaliation. And, of course, the headline is going to be like, oh, my God, the Trump people attacked, even though he'd been getting attacked at the beginning of his campaign. People getting bashed on the head with locks and getting punched in the face. And they're getting attacked and you're screaming and yelling in people's faces. And you don't hear about none of that until one of the Trump supporters hauls up and punches somebody because they've been getting harassed. You don't see the harassment part. You only see the punch part. It's propaganda. Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
July 1st at the Gettysburg battlefield, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and others are going there to burn Confederate flags on the battlefield with 51,000 men died, lost limbs, were wounded, or disappeared. This is getting out of control, folks. The Gettysburg battlefield, it's sacred ground, for Christ's sakes, and they're going to go out there and burn the battle flag of the South. It's not right. You don't like the history, close the books. Look somewhere else. Don't read it. Don't look at it. Don't pay attention to it. It's somebody's heritage, somebody's livelihood, somebody's ancestor, somebody's family member. They have same blood running through the veins. They are proud of those people for making a stand against an intrusive government as the Lincoln administration was imposing its tax and things upon the South. Folks think that the Civil War was fought on the basis of slavery alone, and they are grossly mistaken, as it was more a case of government overreach and the states' rights and taxes. Those were more a part of the Civil War than slavery itself, as Abraham Lincoln had some slaves. And he had slaves. These guys that were fighting the guys in the South, some of them had slaves. This week is the birthday of Jacksonville, Florida, named for Andrew Jackson. Are they going to change the name of Jacksonville? Oh, you know what I mean? Where's it going to end, folks? It's going to end with the hanging of white Southerners? What are they going to do? Are they going to start killing the people? Apparently, took a gun to a baseball practice. They're carrying bloody heads on stage and taking photo shoots. They're having mock assassinations at Shakespeare in the Park. Madonna saying, I dream about blowing up the White House. Madonna, like a surgeon. Woo! I mean, come on, man. What is going on? Actors saying, I want to punch him in the face. Imagine if we said that about Obama. Imagine what would happen if we said that about Obama. If Ted Nugent came out on stage at one of his rockin' concerts with an Obama head, a bloody Obama head, what we gotta do? The world would have came to an end. We would be still in a war right now, getting our heads cut off and getting hung and shot. They would have came after us if that happened. All of us, if Ted Nugent did that. Nobody would be safe. We didn't go that far. We went on overpasses and held signs and waved flags and said, impeach Obama. And when we left, the place was cleaner than when we got there. Every rally I ever went to that was attended by patriots was cleaner than when we got there. Every one. And I've been at some pretty big rallies, folks. And they're cleaner when we leave. We have respect for other people's property. We care for other people's freedom. We're not against people that speak out and protest against what we like and feel. We are against the violence and the bullcrap. And the rhetoric, it's sickening. It's got to stop. Because it's like a wild animal getting backed into the corner. sooner or later, that wild animal strikes. And when he strikes, it's usually fatal. And that's the last thing we want, is it to come to this. We have to wake up. We have to stop. Our children depend on it. Folks, it's not about us. It's about the kids. It's about the next generation. It's about their freedom. It's about their liberty. It's about their American way of life. Forget me. I'm an old man. I lived. I traveled. I partied. I went to concerts. I ball games. I did everything already. It doesn't matter for me. My son, mess with me and my family. See what happens. He deserves the fun and freedom that I had when I was his age. He shouldn't have to worry about being so buried in this damn debt that Trump is trying to slash. And every time he tries to slash it, he's some evil, maniacal something-a-phobe. Folks, we gotta wake up, man. We gotta wake up. Coffee pot's on, you smell the coffee? Time to wake up. I know most of my listeners, 99.9% of you are awake because you listen to this show and we try to bring you the truth instead of the smokescreen you're getting on MSNBC and Fox News and all these other mainstream media. Although I do like Sean Hannity, he does tell the truth about a lot of things. Never gives the opposition a chance to speak on his show. I don't like that. You got to give the opposition a chance to speak. But other than that, he's bringing the truth. He had Sadie's husband's story on his show many times. But other than that, maybe you talk to Carlson once in a while. After that, who do you listen to? Who do you trust? You can't trust none of them. There's nobody to trust. So you got to hit the alternative media sources like Live Truth Radio and Brian Lang. Keeper's Mind Pool. Folks, look for these shows. Like I said before, UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us, Pastor Sylvester Bland. These guys have great shows. If you don't like my show, you don't like me, go watch their shows, please. At least you're getting the same message and the same, you know, message. Doesn't matter who you listen to. I'm not in this for games and views and likes. I'm in this for the message of freedom, liberty, and the American way of life. I don't have money. I can't travel to rally after rally. And I love and thank all of you who can go to these rallies and stand where others can't or where others won't. It goes greatly appreciated. Folks don't realize that every day, patriots are going out and making stands all over this country, and they're doing it at their own expense for no thanks. Well, I thank you, all of you who stand when others can't or others won't. God bless each and every one of you. If I could stand every rally, I'd be at every damn rally, believe it. But I can't. I'm raising my family and my son. So I do my show. And I hope you folks like the show. Hey, how about some thumbs up if you like the show out there? Hey, I'm getting ready here. I'm going to wrap up this show, ladies and gentlemen. We got this week, Thursday, we're bringing Dave Bray. And we're going to talk about his song that he did, Taps and Amazing Grace. And usually I play the Star Spangled Banner. And I got time left on this live feed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play both. I'm going to play Taps, Amazing Grace, followed by the Star Spangled Banner. This is Dave Bray. He'll be live 8 p.m. this Thursday on the Patriot Nation radio show. So here we go. Dave Bray, Amazing Grace and Taps, followed by Dave Bray, a cappella, Star Spangled Banner, live from Pittsburgh. When that comes on, we'll remove our hats, put our hands on our hearts, and face the flag. I will make sure everybody can see the flag. There you have it, folks. That's Dave Bray and his Taps and Amazing Grace. You can hear him this Thursday on Patriot Nation Radio as we bring him, Stevie D, and Jenny on the show to talk about the big rally July 29th in D.C. So, folks, hope you tune in 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern right after A Conservative Perspective with my man, James Bostic. Check him out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, too. And until we meet again this Thursday, 8 p.m., the Patriot Nation Radio Show. This is the Star Spangled Banner by Dave Bray, live a cappella from Pittsburgh. Good night, and God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our